ita wola Zimbabwe muhle muri eZimbabwe lengali tshona njani mtsakazo muhle Zimbabwe muhle kwazwa muri wa Zimbabwe vatereri vose varipinda muchirongwa tinotenda zvikurusa tinomukamuchira ipachirongwa chedu chevechi iki uhlelo The Connection ilami uMichael muri eZimbabwe. If you tuned in right now, you tuned into Live Talk at The Connection brought to you by Studio 7 Voice of America muri eZimbabwe, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related muri eZimbabwe. We're coming to you on our Tuesday, January 11, 2021. Zimbabwe Moshe. I'm your host, Mike Ove. Once again, muri eZimbabwe wonke umuntu ongenayo kuhlelo siyakwamukela kuhlelo lethu labasakhulayo tinomgamuchira imitshongo yemitshebethi iki. If you tune in right now, welcome from wherever you are in the world. Welcome to The Connection, our Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. I'm your host, Mike Hove, muri eZimbabwe. We're coming to you from my apartment in Washington, D.C. Now, nasi imitshongo yemitshebethi iki muri eZimbabwe namhlanje kuhlelo lethu labasakhulayo. Siqhubekela phambili sikhangela udaba lokumemetheka kwe-coronavirus elizweni. Tukwendramberi tijibata ngaye kuparara kwedenda re-COVID-19. We're going to be touching on the spreading of COVID-19 in Zimbabwe. However, the conversation is not going to end there. Muri eZimbabwe, tonight's focus is going to be about youth participation in Zimbabwe's voter registration program. So that's going to be the focus of our discussion. Unfortunately, tonight's program is a pre-recorded broadcast, muri eZimbabwe. So what this means is you will not be able to call in live as per usual to give your contributions. However, we're streaming on our three Facebook platforms as we speak, that being VOA Ndebele, VOA Shona, and VOA Studio 7, muri eZimbabwe. So you can still give your contributions by writing your comments in the comment section, muri eZimbabwe. For all our YouTube fanatics, we are broadcasting live on YouTube as we speak. Our official page is at VOA Zimbabwe. I repeat, at VOA Zimbabwe. So we're live there, so you can go check us out there. And for those that are our web fanatics, we're broadcasting live on the web as we speak, that being www.voa.com. We're also available on www.voashona.com. And lastly, but not least, at www.voazimbabwe.com. So those are our three web pages where we're broadcasting live as we speak. So because you cannot join in live, you can write your comments in the comment section on our few Facebook pages. Share, do not forget to press the share button, muri eZimbabwe, so that we can watch the program in our numbers. And most importantly, like, do not forget to press the like button, muri eZimbabwe. Put your comments in the comment section, press the like button, and of course, press the share button. Now, you, as usual, muri eZimbabwe, let's delve into tonight's discussion. First up, an update on COVID-19. Now, according to the most recent figures released by the Ministry of Health and Child Care, muri eZimbabwe, Zimbabwe currently has 223,000 COVID-19 cases, 196,515 recoveries, and 5,180 deaths. Now, last night alone, 709 new cases were recorded, 2,209 recoveries, and 20 deaths. Now, to date, 4,172,000 people have taken the first jab of the COVID-19 vaccine, and of course, 3,192,000 people are fully vaccinated. But whilst on the discussion of the coronavirus and, of course, the vaccine, the Ministry of Health and its Child Care continues urging citizens to take the COVID-19 jab in order for Zimbabwe to reach herd immunity as soon as possible. For more information, muri eZimbabwe, let's head over to a clip that we have, courtesy of the Ministry of Health Health and Child Care's Twitter page. For more and to watch the full clip, head over to their Twitter page. The clip is also available on their Facebook page and their YouTube page. Let's head over to the clip to hear what the Ministry of Health is saying about the importance of taking the COVID-19 jab.
Hello there. I'm here to give you the latest information and advice from the Ministry of Health and Childcare on COVID-19. Due to the recent surge in COVID-19 cases, the Ministry of Health and Childcare Zimbabwe encourages members of the public to get vaccinated against COVID-19. COVID-19 vaccines have been approved and are being rolled out for use in Zimbabwe today. These vaccines have met strict standards of safety, quality, and effectiveness set out by the Medicines Control Authority of Zimbabwe. It is a legal requirement that all vaccines and medicines used in our health facilities undergo rigorous testing, including all recommended clinical trials, before they are approved for use. Currently, Zimbabwe is using Sinopharm and Sinovac, both from China, as well as Covaxin from India. The Ministry of Health and Childcare also recently approved the use of Sputnik V from Russia. The COVID-19 vaccines are being provided for free to all those who are eligible and want to protect themselves. Here are some advantages to being vaccinated. Getting vaccinated will help keep you from getting COVID-19. The vaccines currently available in Zimbabwe have been highly effective at preventing the disease. As an additional benefit, based on what we know about vaccines from other diseases and early data from clinical trials, experts believe that getting vaccinated may also keep you from getting seriously ill, even if you get COVID-19. And if that's not enough, getting vaccinated yourself may also protect people around you, particularly those at increased risk of severe illness, like the elderly or the immunocompromised. That's those that have an impaired immune system. COVID-19 vaccination is a safer way to help build protection. Getting COVID-19 may offer some natural protection known as immunity, but gaining immunity this way can have serious life-threatening complications. There is no way to know how COVID-19 will affect you, and if you get sick, you could end up spreading the disease to your family, to your friends, and to those around you. So vaccination is an alternative way to gain immunity by creating antibody responses without having to experience sickness.
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from the Ministry of Health and Childcare, Babe Kwatsang and Beluguti. Kuqakathekile okungakanani ukuhlatshwa leli jekiseni elibhekele coronavirus mure Zimbabwe. Wabatshitshana ngurakha kukhohla kwekuba iwadi nomba inodzivirira COVID-19. But now, mure Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe is not the only African country battling to reach herd immunity as soon as possible. Now, if we look at South Africa, for example, despite having the highest COVID-19 infections, less than half of its adult population have received the COVID-19 jab. And unlike in Zimbabwe, South Africa is yet to establish what they're calling a COVID mandate, which is where they are putting in place where, for example, if you need to enter certain places, you need to have taken the COVID-19 jab. However, in South Africa, the private industry is starting to play a crucial role in educating the masses on the importance of taking the COVID-19 jab. Let's head over to a report that we have by our VOA correspondent, Linda Jivadash, who explains more about what's happening in South Africa with regards to the COVID-19 vaccine. Let's head over to her report, which she produced for VOA's Africa 54.
Thousands of COVID-19 vaccination sites have opened across South Africa, but the flow of patients has stalled. From the peak of over 1 million vaccines administered in 1 week in August, numbers have plummeted to under 150,000 last week. The decline comes as the country fell far short of government targets to inoculate 67% of the population by the end of 2021. The manager of the Parkhurst Clinic in Johannesburg says dispelling misinformation could encourage more people to get their shots.
providing more health education to our community. Or why vaccinate, what is the importance of vaccinations. Giving more information will assist, will reduce those kinds of resistance and myths about the vaccine.
Companies are taking steps beyond public education. Discovery is the largest private health insurer in South Africa. The company encouraged vaccination of its clients by offering rewards points and cash back on life insurance premiums. In September, Discovery also mandated its 11,000 employees be vaccinated, and the policy worked. Staff vaccination rates jumped from 22% to 94% within 3 months.
Discovery is well versed and has done extensive work over the years around the behavioral psychology and incentives and rewards for getting people to behave in particular ways and supporting those behavioral changes. But those behavioral changes only get you to a certain point. But once you start getting to the 70% thresholds, you need firmer levers to get people over the finish line.
Whelan said employees overwhelmingly welcome the mandate and the reassurance it brings for going back to work. But he said 2-3% of employees have remained resistant. As more companies introduce similar policies, legal battles have been raised, arguing it infringes on individual rights. The country is still waiting to see how the courts will rule on the issue.
We know from previous cases during the pandemic that these competing community rights to life and health weigh extremely heavily and can warrant the infringement of individual rights in certain situations, but particularly in the context of a pandemic as serious as COVID-19. So it is very likely that vaccine mandates will be found to be constitutional in South Africa.
Without faster uptake, the country's hard-won vaccine supply will expire. In November, the government asked Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer, as well as the U.S. government, to delay sending more vials. The same month, President Cyril Ramaphosa warned widespread mandates were being considered.
We've reached a point where our supply of vaccines outstrips the demand for them. So we need to get that demand back up so that we ensure that all the vaccines we have at our disposal are utilized and that we reach that goal of population-level immunity.
She says mandates can play a strong role in increasing vaccination rates if other barriers like transportation to clinics and time off work are tackled as well. Linda Giffash for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Well, as you look at the Mthwakazi Mohlele, as we know, there are people who are working in South Africa, where a lot of private companies are now starting to step in. The Kuchaza, uzulu kwele South Africa, as you look at the Pumani, Jackson. Even abantu abathabuka kwamanye amazwe abahlala kwele South Africa, labo sebeyenelisa ukuhlatshwa leli jackson elibhekele i-coronavirus kule Zimbabwe. Saka njizo zangasitsana ngurwaka nemthaphi wendawo we-Voice of America, Linda Givitash, angasitsana ngura zviri kusangana nevanhu kuSouth Africa uko vazhinji vari kutya kubayiwa nhomba iyi inodzivirira COVID-19. Asi vanhu vakazvimirira, makambani akazvimirira asingashandi nehurumende, navo vakupinda munyaya iyi vachikurudzira vanhu kuti hanzi budai neuwandu wenyu muchinobayiwa nhomba inodzivirira COVID-19. So muri yeZimbabwe, write your comments in the comment section lekakoti zulu randava. Bhalani mibono yenyu mwotavesilalo kuhlelo lwethu lwavasakhulayo on our three Facebook pages, VOA Ndebele, VOA Shona, and of course, VOA Studio 7. But now, to delve into tonight's discussion, Muriye Zimbabwe, earlier on I mentioned with Namshanje, we're going to be focusing on a youth participation in a Zimbabwe's voter registration program. Now, the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, ZEC as it's popularly known, in December, released 2021 figures of how many people have registered to vote. Now, these are figures that were released on, of course, December 31st, the last year of 2021, left a lot of analysts, a lot of young people, and a lot of experts surprised as to how many people actually went out there and registered to vote. Now, of course, the reasons were several as to what kept this number at it. Now, the Zimbabwe Electoral Body reports that in 2021, only 2,971 Zimbabweans are registered to vote. Of course, this is people who are eligible to vote for the March by-elections and, of course, the 2023 general elections. Now, in response to this feedback, the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission has announced that they will be soon conducting a biometric voter registration blitz with more information going to be confirmed. So for those that are looking to check that out, stay tuned and, of course, stay glued to their social media pages. This information was just this morning released on their Twitter pages. Now, to hear more information on voter registration, why the numbers are so low, just only 2,971 registered throughout the year of 2021, and of course, what exactly is happening with the youth, why the youth are not going out in their numbers to register to vote, I reached out to the director of the Matobo Youth Initiative, Mr. Decent Dube. He's also a youth rights advocate. So let's hear more from Mr. Dube on his take as to why the figures are so low, what exactly is happening, and whether or not youth are interested in the upcoming elections. Let's hear what Mr. Dube has to say.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, Mike. What I'm thinking is that first, I would like to acknowledge that there is really a voter apathy among abantu abatsha. Young people are not turning out as much as we would want them to turn out in terms of voter registration. So, but that statistic, it was shocking, as you realized, it raised a lot of talks around the credibility and stuff like that, which is not good considering the country previously has been going through AMA disputed elections, a lot of accusations against Zek. But young people, honestly, we really need to raise our socks to have NC register. And I would also want to challenge the civil society. They really need to have a bit of understanding the reason why people are not registering before we say now we're doing voter education. But we really need to understand what's the issue, why do young people not come to register and issues like that. But I also want to comment on the context of the rural context. It's really difficult for young people to travel, for example, 100 kilometers or more for them to go and register to vote. You realize sometimes my rural home is 30 kilometers, is 40 kilometers away from where the actual voter registration is taking place. And for you to get there, you need 70 rand to go there and 70 rand to come back, which is 140 rand. So honestly, it's rare for someone who is not really empowered, who doesn't understand the need for him to to participate in the to actively participate in the voter in the electoral process, to spend 140 rand to register to vote. And sometimes there is a possibility that he might not be registered and stuff like that. So I think there are really issues going on which need to address the matter of ages.
Dube, whilst on the discussion of the rural areas, I'm actually really glad I have you on the show as a guest today. Because, of course, you're based in the rural areas. I've spoken to some youth who say that there are a lot of young people who don't have identity documents in the rural areas, and that's contributing to the low turnout that we witnessed, that SEC reported in December. What are your thoughts on that?
I've noted in rural areas, you realize most of the young people that don't have AMA identity documents due to distance, la ID documents, because that's the same place la vote. So this thing, I think, especially in rural areas, it's a bit tricky because you realize it's only in a district which is a circumference of maybe 200 kilometers to 300 kilometers, only three places are people where they can acquire AMA documents. So that all if Maumunta and Hamba Konangale Tolo Tom Chinu Fila were not processing AMA ID, end up saying what's the purpose of then it goes to South Africa, identity documents for him to be able or him or her to be able to register to vote. Then the other thing was that certificate. I hope you can still hear me, Mike.
Yes, I can.
Yeah. Bakona Bantamazan Baba Lama identity documents. from the onset, like from the certificate. So what you realize with when the 22 as an waba let the certificate zalwa, maybe it can be the case of Utkwana Abazali maybe Baba Lai, Baba Bazomchia, Basa South Africa. You know, immigration has got a lot of impact on the issue of AMA-ID documents and stuff. People who go there, maybe there's a chiabanto and a lavoko or abanto alabana the pool and AMA-ID, and this thing is affecting the whole process. Then there's the issue of it affects even the generations which are coming in, especially in the context of the Matepelen and Matobo to be specific. So the 20 some people, even family, the entire family doesn't have documents. As much as the government is saying now people can come and present their story, then they can be assisted in terms of getting their IDs. But few people are having that information. Few people are reluctant to go to the offices and actually utilize that opportunity. So it's a matter of information reaching out to people, knowing what to Canada, going to the assisted. But when people think of UAMA affairs, when people think of AMA registry offices, they think of that treatment which is so breaking, the treatment which they will just waste their money. So they end up saying, what's the matter? Okay, we are no longer going to acquire these documents. So that's where the issue is. Which kind of voter apathy has got a lot of things which actually lead to that, or some people, they are not even able to do that because they feel like that is attached to what is happening in the country. People feel like they are excluded. People feel marginalized. There are a lot of issues which are happening. What's the issue? South Africa. So a lot of the issues are actually leading to this thing of they don't have documents. They also don't register to vote.
There's another contributing factor to the low voter turnout. Analysts argue Zimbabwe's history with political violence has contributed towards deterring the youth from participating from anything democratic related. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's true, because most of young people have been used before to actually be part of the violence or to be at the forefront of the violence, which has actually made our families with my enemies, our communities, the Salet Savannah water and stuff. So now when people talk about elections, they think of politics, how politics, especially 2008, I think it left a lot of the society damaged. Because I still remember the way it happened. It left my families so shattered. This operation on the issue and stuff like that. So people now, when they think of elections and you wanting to take part, you are regarded as someone who also want to advance violence and stuff like that. Elections are also connected to violence. So now for you to actually make people understand for us to be able to cope with this violence, which is happening, we just have to take part in the electoral process. It's a mammoth task. We really need to work hard as a collective. We want to understand. It was just a few individuals who actually instigated that violence and also made people think elections are related to violence and stuff. So now young people, when they think of elections, they think these young people who are talking about, they experienced it. They were still young. They were in primary schools. Some of them were Form 1, some of them were Form 2. And the experience, when they think of elections, they think of that violence. So for you to convince that person to go and vote, it's a task. That person will be like thinking, okay, so that people, some so and so can violate one, so are young people maybe banning in their and stuff like that. It's true. So it's a thing which we really need to deal with as a collective, because young people, they experience that. Everyone who is supposed to vote now experiences violence, which was related to elections and stuff. So we really need to make them understand for us to be able to forget about that. People need to take part in the electoral process and set a narrative which we are all going to be proud of and stuff like that. But this also needs for all stakeholders to come in and also say, assure people with elections and violence are two parallel things, and they're not supposed to be complementing each other and stuff like that.
Now, looking at the 2018 elections, there was a large number of young people that were vying for public office. Here I'm talking members of parliament, here I'm talking council seats. Would you argue that was a contributing factor to the large turnout of youth participation in general? We saw a lot of young people coming out to vote. and a lot of young people obviously partaking in the voter registration program, would you argue having a lot of young people vying for public office actually helped court young people to want to partake in this process?
I think, yes, I think because there were a lot of, especially independent candidates, were young people, it actually motivated maybe young people to go and register to vote. But I think, but I also think it was part of it. It's not like it entirely people contested, then it motivated young people to go and register, to go and vote. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was like people decided to just go and vote. And it's unfortunate when 2018 elections came with violence and stuff like that. So now people are becoming even more reluctant to be part of that because they feel like it's useless. What's the purpose of going to vote when there is a DG contested and stuff like that? So then it ends up to people dying. So I feel like it was a process, it was a gradual thing happening for people to go and register to vote. And we're going to see it happening. But I feel like what happened in 2018 is one of the factors which leads to people not young people not registering to vote this in this season. Because if things had actually gone smoothly, the whole process the actual voting and the post election, if it actually went smoothly without any contestations, without people dying, it was going to be even more this time around. But now people are thinking, for you us to take part for to be some other drama or in the limelight, the making headlines because of this violence and stuff like that. So for people to, I feel like we're going to see even more young people contesting, not because young people have registered and stuff like that, but just because they no longer believe in the mainstream political parties. They just think unless they have some independence. And they know they might not win and stuff, but I feel like there are going to be more young people contesting. Few people are now believing in the mainstream political parties, especially young people. So if they happen to take part in the electoral process, they will be actually doing it as independent. And I feel like we might see some independent candidates, especially young people, maybe getting something. It was young people. People have learned a lot. We're learning. This is it's a process. Now people know what we really need to fix this from a local perspective, from a local, from the grassroots, for us to influence the national discourse of the electoral process. So I think we're going to see a drastic change, something happening, especially this year, going on to 2023. But we're hoping that it won't be violence, because violence will lead to voter apathy, the young people shying away from the electoral process.
Now, ZEC reported extremely low figures in 2021. I can only imagine January 2022 isn't that much more different. President Emmerson Mnangagwa recently announced that Zimbabwe will be having its by-elections in March 26th to fill, of course, these vacant posts that are in Parliament and in our council. Do you think that a lot of young people are going to turn up for this by-elections?
I've just learned yesterday that whoever is going to be registering as from this day is won't be taking part in the by-elections in those constituencies which are actually supposed to be by-elections supposed to be taking place. So I have a feeling that a lot of people in those in Matobo fortunately were not having any by-elections which is a good thing, because these by-elections have been coming with a lot of complications, dividing the country and dragging, weakening the progress in the country. So, but I feel like in those constituencies where by-elections are going to be taking place, I feel like there's going to be a lot of, a high voter turnout, because people spend a lot of time without having representatives. They ended up getting to understand that they don't have representatives, and they would definitely, it was a way of them getting to understand that something is happening in the country. And I feel like everyone got to understand what was the context, what was going on in the country. And they would definitely participate just because they now know what is happening. So I feel like there is going to be a high voter turnout. It's not going to be low. Those who are registered to vote, I'm feeling they are going to register because it's happening even in FN. Most of the constituencies are in the FN area, of which I have a feeling that a lot of people are going to vote. That's my opinion. It might happen the opposite, but I feel like it's definitely going to see a lot of people register. I mean, participating, voting compared to 2018. I think it should be more compared to 2018.
Now, Jason, with arguably less than a year to go until 2023, what do you think can be done by A, youth-led organizations, B, ZEC itself, and C, political parties, to court the youth of the nation into participating into the voter registration program and, of course, actually going out to vote in 2023? What can be done by these three institutions?
First of all, I'd like to appreciate the organizations who have been already embarking on the voter education, specifically targeting young people. I feel like they've done a lot. And we really need to be patient when we're dealing with young people. You don't need to judge them. We just need to understand the reason why they're not participating. I feel like if you were to understand, try to talk to a young person and convince that young person, you really need to understand why that person is not interested in the electoral process. But we just need to be patient and also understand why young people are not taking part. So as young organizations, you also need to work as a collective. You don't have to do this as individuals, or we just need to have a collective approach and be non-partisan. Let's not make this thing a partisan issue. This voter education has to be non-partisan and make people understand which corner. By telling you which corner, go and register to vote, we're not telling you who to vote for. Just go and register and exercise your right and also save your constituents from being affected by the demutation process, and also make sure that at the end of the day, in 2023, you can go and vote for your choice, for the candidate of your choice. So these are the issues which you need to keep, and it gives them confidence. For someone to know that you are actually pulling out your resources to make him just participate without even getting to, it's secondary to know who that person is going to vote for. We just need to make them to be conscious of what is happening around them, to know the importance of voting and stuff like that. Because if we politicize this thing, the voter education, we might end up getting negative results, which are going to make us a failure as a civil society. So we really need to make it a community thing, a community need, and also a collective need, whereby we need to save our constituencies, we need to save our country, and we need to make sure that no one is left behind.
Now, earlier on, you mentioned that youth in rural areas are deterred from participating from programs such as the voter registration program because of the expenses that go behind it. Now, do you think if ZEC had more mobile exercises, more mobile stations that go to the people to allow them to register to vote, do you think that this would help increase the numbers that we're witnessing here?
Yeah, I really feel like there is need for ZEC to actually go to the people, also go to those police stations and also register to vote. Working with the civil society, of course, to also mobilize people to meet ZEC in those polling stations and register to vote and stuff like that. I feel like I know ZEC might argue that they are not having resources to actually do these mobile registrations and stuff, but I'm sure that civil society organizations who are working with ZEC, I saw ZEC releasing names of the organizations who are going to be doing the voter education and stuff. And those organizations might pull resources and help the ZEC reach out to people. So I feel like this thing has to be a two-way process. ZEC needs to benefit from those people and also need to make sure that at the end of the day, people are the ones who are benefiting. Because if it's just being there on social media, on the mainstream media, saying want people to vote, go and vote in this location and stuff, but not reaching out to people. For someone, people there in maybe in in the border of Botswana and Shashe to travel to KZ to go and register to vote. It's a tricky thing to do because that person needs to put on the table and to get 200 rands to go to KZ to register and vote, and they might not be able to register and vote. But if you come to the community, you give that those good platform to register to vote, you advise them what to bring and going to lead for high turnout in 2023. Because if you say, go to KZ if you want to vote, they feel like, why is this like, no one cares about me? There is that thing whereby they feel like, this politician, they tend to be a political issue. Why these politicians want us to vote there? It's like they're doing for the politicians. They know that it's their mandate to vote because it's their responsibility as citizens so that they can decide who leads them in peace.
Hi, Tavus Otube, we hear you very loudly and clearly. As we wrap up, as we wrap up our discussion here, before, what are your last sentiments that you have for the listeners?
Yes, to young people, I would like to actually tell them that you don't have to feel embarrassed that we are regarded as people who are not responsible and stuff like that. Just have to learn from it and rise up to the occasion and also go and register. It's a process. Change doesn't happen overnight. People need to understand that a lot of things have happened, and there's a reason why young people are not registering to vote. So we also seek stakeholders to also be part of the process, the whole young people stands, and make sure that they understand the importance of voting. And also, I would like to tell young people that it's their responsibility to take part in this, because at the end of the day, they are the ones who are complaining of what is happening around them. Leaders sometimes disappoint them. The councillors sometimes disappoint them and stuff like that. So now this is an opportunity for them to be part of the whole process, to monitor the process. You cannot monitor a process which you're not part of. Tell your family, tell your friends to go and register to vote. And also don't judge those who haven't registered yet. Just make them understand that the need of registering to vote. But let's not judge each other. We need each other at this moment. We just need to make this thing our strike as a nation that everyone needs to be part of. So as young people, we can set the narrative and change this status quo and make sure that everyone is happy with the outcome, everyone participated, not the majority who are complaining being the ones who didn't take part in the process. So you just have to decide. And for you to decide, you just have to raise the status quo.
Well, shout out to Mr. Deaton Dube for taking time out to be with us. Pano Pachirongo Chodichovichiki. I wanted to note that Kurusa Kunava Dube Ava Turanguayo, Javi Nesu, Pano Pachirongo Chodichovichiki, Sanangraoka, Mount Bravo, Neji, Nyai, Yokuzanzi, Parisino, Munika, Zekia, Sanganore, Zimbabwe, Electoral Commission, Kanakuzi Zek. Vaka tauroka nimswa 31 December kuti aiwa munyika manga muine vanhu 2971 vakanyoresa kundovhota mugore ra 2021 saka takurukura navadhube vechidiki vanorwira kodzero dzevechidiki tikavabvunza kuti zvii zviri kuita kuti vechidiki vasabude neuwandu hwavo vachindonyoresa kuvhota vadhube vatsanangura zvinhu zvakasiyana siyana vakazeya vakatsanangura vakati aiwa nemaondo avo nyaya dzekumbunyikidzwa kwekodzero dzevechidiki nyaya dzekuti vechidiki vakawanda vari kumaruseva ukavana mapepa kana zvitupa hanzi zvese izvi zviri kukanganisa upenyu hwevechidiki zvese izvi zviri kuita kuti vechidiki vasabude neuwandu hwavo vachindonyoresa kundovhota imi muri kuzvionawo sei mhuri yezimbabwe nyorai maondo renyu papeji redu refacebook pavoa studio 7 voa shona pamwe chete nepavoa ndevele now we also reached out to another young person who is Mr. Nigel Ndlovu and Nigel is an aspiring MP. He ran for Member of Parliament for Makwekwe in 2018. He's a youth rights advocate. So I reached out to Nigel to talk about his experience in 2018 and, of course, his understanding of everything that's going on. Let's hear more from Nigel.
Ngiyabonga ukungi-invite lokungifaka ehlelweni lakho uDivike once again. So i-challenge ekhona lapha kathi kithi, like most young people, they are just fed up in the system. Mm-hmm. And because siyakwazi ukuthi bahamba kuma-elections and after elections izinto azitshintshi. Mm-hmm. I would say most young people abantu abancane asebekwanisa ukuvota abaningi bacaphukile ngoba ababoni izinto zitshintshi. Hayi, into yokuqala. Okwesibili, ibhodi kumele ifundisa abantu abancane like iZeki about i-voter registration. Hayi, yenza umsebenzi wayo. Siyaphekela ukarefi ngapho instance abantwana ama-youth asemagwik constituency. Xa efuna ukuyarejista kumele gadi ekhona ngale efamona. Efamona is the other side of town. Ngamanye ama-challenges akhona wona la. And abantu abancane aba-young people abaqashwanga abasebenzi bayayithetha ngayo imali yogaduzuku. Sabona ukukhatshane kunithi ngokuntshela into lezo ukurejista lama-elections, i-interest ivela yikho. Ngoba even lama-bodies zona la kumele bencedisa abantu abancane abasakhulayo ngendaba zama-elections, abahambi ebantwini. It's something like mobile voter registration. It's very common eventually.
Nigel, let us talk more about the challenges faced by Zimbabwean youth, especially those preventing them from being able to register to vote. Now, I've spoken to a couple of analysts, not just for this program, but in general, and a lot of them argue that there's a lot of young people in Zimbabwe, especially those based in the rural areas, especially those based in the Matabeleland area, who do not have identity documents, who don't even have normal birth certificate, and of course, without one, you can't register to vote. Speak to us about that challenge.
Yes, indaba inalela kukhona ukuthi registry kutshona kulamalayini. Ungangena deep kwezinye indawo emakhaya uyathola ukuthi iprocess yangkhona lokhu ithatha isikhathi umuntu ukuthi uzethola isithupha iyatshintshetshintsha and for abantu abasakhulayo kuba nzima ngoba yibo abaningi abangenazithupha so ungasumtshela ngokuthi kumele irejista so kudingakala ukuthi ebe nesithupha yabona ukuthi vele i-interest iba lungu so ngezinye izinto ezi-affecta young people with regards to indaba ye-voter registration, especially emasikeleleni. The areas which are marginalized. I was in Matobo a few months back. There's an area abantu abahamba umango, like 20 km ngenyawo besiyazama ukubhalisa ukuthi bethole izithuba. So into leyo is not only ibobulawayo, kuphela ikhona ezinye kwezinye indawo kumatobo, which is very frustrating for a young person.
Let me take you back to 2018, Bafo. 2018, the youth came out by. A lot of young people came out in their numbers by vote, kids. So what's different now, Bafo? Why do we have such a low turnout of young people registering to vote, looking interested in partaking in this entire process? Why? What's different?
2018 was the excitement. We all knew which starts the longer. So the vibe, yeah, which young people are looking forward to, like what the next 5 years are going to be like better. Certainly now, if 5 years says Taylor, I have just been looking at it as Tinjang. So, Konoku, you can get to get a bunch of Sakuda and Doughty system, the Doughty my election. However, on the other side, I have like young people are interested in running. They participate in things of my elections. But in number, I'm going to ask, which is a fanana in the Danica 2018. You could have been subcontinent. For every young person who has been in the Chinese, you have to make sacrifices. Even if you register, you can't China as a young person because it's the duty of a young Zimbabwean to make decisions on an hour. So I get a Utaki step now, okay, where I'm going to just do this too. But the results of my election is going to be a little bit. We don't register. So you play me back as a young person. Mm-hmm. So I'll say if you're a young person and you've got access to go and register to vote, go and register to vote because every number counts. Mm-hmm. And you now voter, know who you are voting for, know what you know in vain, track record, don't just vote. And you are going to land in the party, kangela ama credentials omuntu ovotela awu singaphumuli ukuvotela abantu esingakwazi kareti ifight yethu seziphila sabisele abanye abantu awamina sibabisele kwezinye indawo bathutha abantu ama-independent bathutha amanye amaparti nayekela ukubafaka abantu laba ngabe balethe i-change kodwa kareti lokhu esi-stuck we are still stuck in the same place which is very frustrating as well.
Michael, talk to me about political violence. Analysts argue that Zimbabwe's history, especially when Isikhathi Sokhetho gets closer and closer and closer, as election periods usually get closer and closer and closer, political violence seems to be happening in Zimbabwe. And analysts argue that's one thing that might be deterring a lot of young people from partaking in issues related to governance. So here we're talking registering the vote, we're talking about vying for public office, et cetera, et cetera. What is your take on that?
In the way of violence, it's affects the perception of politics and elections on young people. In Kuluwa Kulu, so I can look at the violence on the Galawama parties, even in Masingo, like for instance, the PF says on in the Galawama Singo. It's really upsetting for young people because young people have got bread and butter issues to deal with. Now, so we can look into the politics, the idea of one of the children is Dina. I said, I'm not going to mention it. I didn't see any channel into the political way to Nafilamar. Politics are unmuted. That's the mindset of most young people. So, young people want jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Young people want employment.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of ways in this job of violence. We have a failure. We have a failure. I'm not going to mention it anymore because young people are angry.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the residents of the political party, it's really also their factor in terms of who they want to have participate in elections. I'm not going to be able to exercise my young people. So it's violence is like, you know, is really affecting, you know, because any political space, let democratic space, it's in Zimbabwe when we're looking at young people.
Mm-hmm. All right, Nigel, let me hold you on the line there and I'll be back with you shortly. Muri Zimbabwe Pachirongwa, Tinava Nigel Ndlovu, Wechidiki, Akakwikwidza, Musarudzo, Zemina 2018, Kumakwekoko. Nigel Ndlovu was trying to run, he actually ran as an independent candidate in attempts to be the MP representative of Makwekwe. Sakachibu Zanyai, Yekunyoresa Kuvota, Munika Muri Zimbabwe, Tiwo Maundrenu. You're in my comments in my comment section for page redu prepa Facebook pa VOA Shona. Pamujete Nepa VOA Studio 7 where we're also broadcasting. Now before we head back to Nigel Ndlovu, there's a couple of videos that are sourced from Abandrosa Kulayo, the youth of the nation. Who's told me more about the kind of Zimbabwe they'd like to see post 2023, post the 2023 elections? Let's head over to some of these videos and hear the thoughts of the youth of the nation speaking for themselves.
My name is Margaret Zinunwe, a Zimbabwean youth. So the Zimbabwe that I would love to see is one where everyone is given an equal and fair chance to make it in life. I want to see a Zimbabwe where all citizens will be shareholders in a mining company which focuses in mining at least two high-value minerals like diamonds and gold. Every Zimbabwean being a shareholder in that company will receive profit dividend payouts biannually by the virtue of just being a Zimbabwean. This will give everyone a fair chance to make it in life. I want to see a Zimbabwe where hard, honest work is acknowledged. I'm tired of thieves who become rich at the expense of the educated, at the expense of the young people. This can only happen when proper economic fundamentals and institutions are set up. I want to see a Zimbabwe that will afford all young people a chance to achieve their potential. As Zimbabwe, we should acknowledge all threats and avail facilities for such. If I'm a good rugby player, for example, or even a good netball player, I must be given the chance to further my craft at state-of-art institutions and facilities. Above all, I want peace, joy, and love to reign in Zimbabwe. I want Zimbabwe to be a nation, not a thing that belongs to a political party, as they call it, Chinu Chedu. All Zimbabweans are equal and must be treated as such. Ngiyabonga.
Well, Maria Zimbabwe, that was Margaret Zinumwe, a young Zimbabwean speaking for herself, telling us more about the kind of Zimbabwe she'd like to see post-2023. Now, let us also hear from Itai Masango, who is also another young Zimbabwean who speaks on the same matter.
Chechipiri kusava nemhirizhonga seyakamboitika munyika musi wa1 Nyamavhuvhu 2018 musure mekunge tapamusarudzo. Chechitatu ndotarisira kuti kuve nekusimukira munyaya dzeupfumi hwenyika. Izvi zvinokonzerwa nekukwezva vemabhizimusi vanoreva kudzvara mari dzavo munyika kuti nyika yedu ibudirire. Kubatana kwemapato anenge apinda musarudzo vachiisa pfungwa dzavo pamwe chete kuti tofambisa sei nyika ndo chimwe chezvinhu zvandinotarisira kana tichinge tabuda musarudzo dza2023. Kutora pfungwa dzevese vane chekuita nekusimudzirwa kweupfumi hwenyika vakaita sevemabhizimisi, vadzidzi, vemakereke nevechidiki. Izvi zvinobatsira pakuvandudza upfumi hwenyika.
Well, Maria Zimbabwe, you just heard there from Margaret Zinumwe and Itai Masango. Laba ngabantu abasakhulayo izalwane zeZimbabwe abachazisa ngempela ngokugcweleyo ukuthi bona bafuna ukubona ilizwe elinjani ngemva kokhetho luka-2023. Likubona njani izwe lokandaba? Bhalani imibono yenu kukhathi lethu le VOA Studio 7 ngalinye baku-VOA Ndebele. Facebook, ma-comments section, sizwe phela ukuthi lina likubona njani, selibhalisile na ukuyovota. If you haven't registered to vote, what exactly is your challenge? Bhalani imibono yenu ku-Facebook. Nigel Bafour, let me head back to you. You heard the thoughts of the youth speaking there, but I want to hear your thoughts. But before we head over to that particular portion, earlier on you touched on political violence. Could you kindly explain the same point, but in English?
Right. What I was saying is young people in Zimbabwe are worried about very important issues. So when they see political violence emanating in political parties like what we've seen with where MTC Alliance was involved in violence, even in Masvingo, where ZANU-PF also is involved in violence, it really demoralizes young people, like in terms of participating in the political and the democratic processes like elections, because we've got so much issues which are affecting young people, and young people are concerned about jobs, mm-hmm. the jobs which were promised during 2018. Mm-hmm. They were promised jobs, so young people want jobs. So when they see violence, they'll rather go and hustle, like what young people would say, they'll rather go and hustle instead of participating in politics, in the electoral processes. So, yeah, that's what I was saying in the rain.
Now, before to refer back to the videos that we just played, I wonder what kind of nation would they like to see post-2023? One thing they hammered on, but Bafuni incidents, they want jobs, and more jobs. That's their biggest ask. Now, what changes need to be done in Zimbabwe to court the youth of the nation to understand that they need to register to go vote, and of course they need to vote, so that all these changes, all these asks that they are asking for, can come true or can come to fruition so that all these changes can happen? What needs to be done to court them to understand that you need to register to go vote for you to see the changes that you're requesting?
From my side, what I think young people should do, I think young people shouldn't lose hope. Those in power at the moment should also come through with their promises, the 2018 promises, because, I mean, guys, we can't be talking about Vision 2030. Young people are still struggling. We need practical solutions on the ground. We need tangible results. That's what young people need. So if they can see something in 2022, it will definitely mean that young people are going to be inspired to go and participate in the processes as well.
Now, Nigel, let us talk a little more about the youth participation in elections. 2018, once again, I like to refer to that, witnessed a lot of young people vying for public office, yourself included. However, the only independent candidate that was successful in winning was Honorable Themba Mlisa, who is by no chance close to being his. Now, considering the fact that majority of the electorate, the majority of the people that went out there and actually casted their votes were young people, why was the result so unfavorable towards young candidates such as yourself?
I think it's the culture of the voting in Zimbabwe. People are aligned to political parties, so they vote for political parties instead of political ideas. So I think it's the culture and which needs to be changed. Young people need to reform on their own because at the moment we're still stuck in 1980, we're still stuck in 2008, we're still stuck in 2018, we're still stuck in 2018 because young people themselves also don't want to change. Mm-hmm. So I mean the change starts with young people. If young people begin to see that, okay guys, this is what we want, and we've got these people who are bringing these ideas, why don't you put those young people and make sure you hold them to account?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, no one is holding anyone to account. You still have the same people. Like, for instance, in my constituency, we have someone who was there in 2013, we have someone who they voted for in 2018, and we don't see any progress. There's no progress. What is that person saying about young people of Makwekwe in 2021? There's nothing. Young people are struggling. So it starts with the young people, and it also starts with even the older generation. They also need to pass on the baton. We are tired of old ideas which are not working. Like I said, we don't need Vision 2030. We mm-hmm. need practical solutions on the ground. We need tangible results, and we don't need violence. We don't need fighting, mm-hmm. which is emanating from political parties.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts with the moment young people begin to see that the solutions are coming from them as young people, that's the moment we'll see real change in Zimbabwe. At the moment, even the young people are letting themselves down. I'm sorry to say that, but that's what I'm seeing.
Now, Nigel, we hear talks of policies such as the youth quota and the women quota in parliament. All these targeted towards, courting young people to partake more in issues of governance. Do you think such policies would help in changing that culture that you're referring to?
I mean, there are so many policies which have been put down on paper in Zimbabwe, and most of them haven't worked. Most of them haven't been implemented. I'll talk about the Constitution. Some of the elements in the Constitution are not even being implemented, but we're talking about devolution, for instance. Devolution started being, the government started implementing devolution, like, in some parts of the country this year and last year, and in some parts it's still not being implemented. So people can advocate for those policies in parliament for representation of young people. But I mean, if we can't practice what we preach, then we're just wasting our time. Mm-hmm. So what we need is we put young people in parliament, and let's not just pity put them. I can say. Mm-hmm. Don't just pity us as young people and say, young people are crying for seats in parliament, let's just put them. Because what we have another situation where we have toothless young people in parliament who can't even say anything, incompetent young people as well.
All right, Maria Zimbabwe, well, that was Nigel Ndlovu, Osakhulayo, youth rights activist, and of course, an aspiring member of our parliament. We've reached an end of our program today. And Tandubonga Ongumundu Ungene, Bushelo Lechulabasakulayo, and thank you so much to everybody that wrote their comments in the comment section and everybody that shared the program. And most importantly, La Koshi, Regalan Pambili, if you dizzle, La Payopalu, which you like. Amuria Zimbabwe, my time here is up. Let's meet the same time, same place, at Pano Panapengire Studio 7, and Okuneka in Mfaro, Tino in my COVID, Tarago Moshe, Zimbabwe Moshe, bye bye!